Please don't touch the thermostat. Please keep your towel on. Welcome to the Steam Room.
The show named after a semi-naked encounter that Charles had.
Anybody who listens to the Steam Room is a steamer.
A loyal steamer.
A loyal steamer.
Thanks to the millions and millions who downloaded the podcast.
In this episode,
they had to teach me how to eat vegetables. Yoga is nothing but stretching. They just call it yoga so they can charge you more. Ordering pizza is not the same as ordering takeout from McDonald's and Wendy's on one of those stupid apps.
What gets your vote for Best Picture?
1917. It's outstanding. It's a typical... Wait a minute. I haven't seen 1917. I apologize.
That's what puts us right up here, way on the top rung on the credibility ladder. And how about this? Episode number 8 of the Steam Room Podcast. And as you can tell, this one's already different.
Wow.
Because it's in front of a live audience, Chuckster.
And Ernie, number one, I want to thank y'all. There's a dude over here got a Detroit Pistons jersey on. You talk about having no pride. I mean, come on, man.
You are going to be glad you're here because a little bit later, Isaiah Thomas will be joining us.
Yes. I refer to him as the great Isaiah Thomas.
Yes. So I don't know if any of you have downloaded the Steam Room podcast. We certainly hope you have, wherever you download your podcast, because we're up to what? Was it 16 trillion downloads?
16 trillion, 975.
76. Another one just happened.
Okay.
So we encourage you to subscribe. And the reason we do call it the Steam Room, and because I never assume that you've heard the story.
And then I made the mistake of telling these fools at work that the guy gave me the bracelet.
Who made your bracelet? That looks like an aggressive.
You know, I got this bracelet from a guy in the steam room back in Arizona.
You got what?
Hey, Kenny, quit asking questions,
you
man.
You got the bracelet from a guy in the steam room. Explain, please.
They made something so sweet and pure.
Yes.
So slimy and dangerous.
Two naked men.
No. We had this discussion. When you're in the steam room with other people, you put on a towel. You don't. No, that's
pretty
that's,
much agreed, right?
Yes.
If you're in there by yourself, it's all right.
Yeah, you can stay. You can be in that steam room naked by yourself. But if there's other people in there, you put.
But you normally want to have a towel underneath.
Oh, you
so
sit.
You don't slide off of that.
No,
thing.
But you sit on one and you put one over you.
Okay.
At least I do.
It only takes one.
You know.
So anyway, that's how our podcast got its name. Also, one of the things that if you've followed Chuck's TV career, you know that he is very fond of these three words.
First of all, I could listen to that Mariah Carey song every day. Well, first of all, I've met Rob Lowe a few times in my life. That's a pretty man. First of all, Christmas caroling is not a thing. First of all, I don't even think Kale's a thing. First of all, I've never used cologne.
Oh, come on,
I'm serious. First of all, Goodfellas is probably one of my top five movies. You don't like Goodfellas?
No, I don't. No, I just love talking to you, man, because you crack me up. So those three words are... First of all, even if it's the fifth thing he's talking about, it's still first of all. So we always begin the Steam Room podcast with Chuck's first of all. What is it this week?
Well, my first of all this week is about Kobe Bryant, the great late Kobe Bryant, and Bobby Knight. There's starting to be some negative backlash about how we are worshiping Kobe, saying that we're trying to sugarcoat everything that happened in his life. And what I want to say is that was a great loss for the NBA family. But Kobe wasn't perfect, and we were not trying to make him out to be perfect. And the reason I bring that up is the thing that happened at Indiana this week with Bobby Knight, who I respect Bobby Knight. Number one, he's one of the greatest coaches ever. And he graduated as players. And a lot of people were going in on him talking about we're trying to, you know, the people in Indiana try to whitewash and sugarcoat everything that happened in Bobby Knight's career. But the point I want to make about Kobe and Coach Knight, Kobe was a great, great basketball player. Coach Knight was a great, great basketball coach, but they were not perfect. None of us is perfect. You know, you can have a friend and still acknowledge they had flaws. So that's my first of all, like, hey, ain't none of us perfect.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think it's been interesting because I think we've kind of faced the same situation when we went out to L.A. to do the game that was canceled.
Yes.
The game that was postponed. And we had the guys on to talk about their remembrances of Kobe, and that was Jerry West, and that was Steve Nash, and D. Fish, and Rick Fox. And you and I had the conversation, too, as we were heading over there. It's like, when is it appropriate to bring up, and people have brought it up there, saying, yeah, look, Kobe had to, you know, Kobe ran into this issue in Colorado.
Yeah.
And this was a very serious allegation. It was settled.
Yeah.
You know, there was an out-of-court settlement. I think it's important where you talk about that, and I think you have to have, there's a certain sensitivity, obviously, to a family that's lost a father and a husband and that kind of thing. And we're never assuming or making the statement that, oh, this guy had a perfect life.
Yeah.
And this guy never, because I tell you, for all of us, when that time comes, you can point to things and say, oh, boy, he didn't handle that well, or this was wrong. And for a guy like Bobby Knight cut you, didn't he?
Yeah.
Bobby Knight sent you home.
Yeah.
And so you could say, oh, man, you could have this predisposed bent about, man, that Bobby Knight, don't even bring his name up to me. Because I've talked to guys who know him very well and have said he's misunderstood, that if you get to know him, that he was this great guy. But obviously there are things that happened in Indiana that people have said, hey, this can't happen.
Yeah. But two things can be true. And it's the same thing about Kobe. Two things can be true.
That's first of all, and we're just getting started here on the Steam Room. Again, we thank you for being here. We encourage you to download the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This is actually fun doing it from a live audience.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah.
Since I've been born, I didn't eat any vegetables. Broccoli, broccolini, spinach.
Ooh, spinach.
Or artichokes, asparagus. That's a no. When you go to these salad places and they got like five different types of lettuce, I'm like, no. There's not five types. It's just lettuce.
There are different types of lettuce.
They're all the same. Mm-hmm. They're called lettuce. And kale chips are not a thing.
Well, they are, but they're not your thing.
I will say this. Nachos. I'm a chili, cheese, ground beef, maybe some chicken type guy. Ernie, you can't have butter if you're on a diet, man.
Oh, so that's where I've gone wrong.
No, that's where I was going wrong.
Yes, food, one of our favorite topics on the Steam Room podcast.
Can never go wrong with it.
We welcome you back here to House of Blues in Chicago. Thank you all again for being here.
Yeah.
Chicago's a great food town, man.
This is
wonderful restaurants in Chicago.
Other than New York, this is the best food. No, come on. They just got a gazillion restaurants in New York. But Chicago has arguably some of the best food places in the world.
If anybody knows quality of food around the world, it would be you. I mean that in a good way, Chuck.
Yeah, that's no good way to say it, Ernie. That's no good way to cut me like that.
So let's think about a couple of things that come to mind when you think food in Chicago. Chicago hot dogs.
Yes.
And deep dish pizza. And we happen to have examples of both here for you. So this is Portillo's for the dog here. So Portillo's is a good call for the dog, right? No ketchup. Look at that. Yeah, no ketchup. Well, I never put ketchup on a hot dog anyway. And this one, this hot dog here, Chuckster, has got, I mean, it's got everything. It's got peppers, it's got tomatoes, onions.
What?
I know.
I don't, Ernie, we've had this conversation. The only thing you put on hot dogs is chili and onions.
Okay, well, there are onions on here. Don't you want to open your horizons a little bit to see this is what... Take a bite of a Chicago dog. Come on, try a bite of a Chicago dog.
What kind of idiot puts a pickle on a hot dog? Peppers. No, I'm gonna eat a hot dog with some onions on it.
All right.
And I don't even know what this green crap is either. Now, onions. Onions on a hot dog are one of the greatest things ever.
I'm not a big onion guy. I'm a relish and spicy mustard guy.
Relish is just sucks.
All right. Deep dish pizza.
Ernie.
And this one's coming from Lou Malnati's. Okay? Yeah. Lou Malnati's. There's also, and we appreciate them doing this. Giordano's is a good spot too.
Ernie, you know,
I was just there last night, as a matter of fact.
I'm not a deep dish pizza guy.
I am.
I'm gonna eat it just
because. I'm eating a piece of deep dish pizza right now.
I'm not a deep dish guy. I'm not gonna lie.
Why?
I like thin crust.
Uh-huh. That being said,
that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. I could eat this every time I come to Chicago. I do this, whether I'm doing a Cubs game, whether I'm coming here for this. I always make that first night. I got to go to Giordano's, and this is again Lou Malnati's. So
they don't have enough stuff on it.
Okay, what's the ideal
pepperoni
pizza
and sausage?
That's only two things.
You need more than that. Like sometimes,
Got sausage.
Yeah, but got to have pepperoni sausage and green olives.
No, now you're adding green olives.
I love green olives, but most restaurants for some reason don't have black olives. Like green olives, I eat. How about
mushrooms?
No, never. Never.
Fairly common pizza topping.
I never. I would never eat a mushroom.
How about pineapple?
Come on, Ernie.
I did that simply for his reaction.
Ernie, I actually keep green olives around the house just to eat out the jar. I love green olives. And I hate restaurants that only have black olives. Mm-hmm. How can you have only black olives? They're just stupid.
Okay, so what's the winner here? You're voting for the pizza or the dog?
Well, I got to get my dog my way. I mean, who put a pickle on a hot dog? Chicago!
That's a Chicago dog, man.
Oh.
So if you could only eat a Chicago dog or a deep dish pizza, what would you?
Oh, I'd go with the dog, but I'd fix it my way.
No, you have to eat it their way.
No,
that's the deal. You got to eat a Chicago dog, not just a dog, a Chicago dog or a deep dish pizza. Which one of
what
those?
What kind of idiot in Chicago came up putting a pickle and peppers on a hot dog?
How can I ever get a straight answer?
Okay, I go with the pizza. That gets away situation there. Then.
Very good. This is so awesome, by the way. And we do have a couple pieces left if somebody wants a couple pieces. Yeah. All right. Here, come on up. Take this back. Don't eat the one that Chuckster's been eating. I'm not even going to offer the dog because I saw what he did to it.
What?
Can you imagine a world filled with folks wearing the steam room bathrobe as nicely as Tim Kiley, our longtime producer?
Are you really wearing a Dan Marino hat?
Well, let me tell you something, Chuck. The way Pat Mahomes was throwing the ball around, he reminded me of my teammate and my friend, Dan Marino.
If I had a dollar for every time you dropped Dan Marino's name, I'd have an extra $10, $15 million.
Danny, you on the phone?
Yeah, what's up, Tim?
Oh, my God.
Here.
Chris Fowler of
Big
ESPN.
Name.
You were the very first guest picker. You know that, right?
I did not know that.
Jake Tapper of CNN.
Yes.
Ernie, you may or may not know this, but I first met Charles in a Wendy's.
There's a pretty good chance of that. Jimmy Rollins joining us. How about the damage to the game of baseball itself?
A scandal is never good. It brings a lot of eyes, but these are the wrong type of eyes.
Better performance. Charles in Space Jam. Or you and Ace Ventura, Pet Detective?
There is no doubt that me playing an Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, was way better than Space Jam.
Yes, so on the Steam Room, we have had numerous guests through the first seven episodes. Here we are in episode eight, and in his hometown of Chicago, Isaiah Thomas joins us here All-Star Weekend at the House of Blues.
It is good to see you, Ernie.
Is it good to be here? Are you honored to be in the Steam Room?
I am honored to be in the Steam Room, and I don't want no bracelets. don't give me no bracelets. You know, I'm good.
What's it like? I mean, growing up in one of the greatest cities in the world, coming back, you've had one of the most amazing lives ever, and you get to come back, and you're probably going to see some old friends.
Today, at one of the events, I met a girl who was in fourth grade with me, and she looked at me, and she goes, I can't believe you remembered me. And I was like, wow. Well, you just remember all your childhood friends and everything else that you grew up with, because that's all I really... I mean, my best friends in life are still my high school friends.
Wow.
My high school, grade school friends, those are the people that I, you know, love, grew up with, and, you know, stole some food with. Yeah.
What's your first memory of picking up a basketball?
I was maybe 3-4 years old.
And were you crossing up little toddlers at that point?
No, I wasn't crossing them up. I was tripping them. But, no, I was maybe 3-4 years old, and all my older brothers used to go to the playground to play. And we didn't have babysitters or anything like that, so you had to go with them. And every now and then, they would let you get out on a court and shoot, but they'd teach you how to dribble. And I remember in fourth, fifth grade, I had learned how to dribble so good that Brother Alexis, who was the grade school coach at that time, allowed me to be in the layup line. And also, I was like the halftime entertainment, like, you
Come
know,
on, really?
doing dribbling drills. Yeah. Well,
yeah. Hey, you know, the one thing amazed me about your career, what happened to your team on the Pistons? Y'all went from being only an offensive team to one of the greatest defensive teams, because people forget that. Because everybody... have y'all as the Bad Boys is one of the greatest physical defensive teams ever. But at one point, you guys tried to outscore everybody.
Yeah.
What happened, and who changed that mentality?
Chuck Daly. I mean, we started out as being the highest scoring team in the NBA, and we still hold a record for the most points ever scored in the NBA game, which is 186.
Isaiah hits the first free throw. It's 186-181.
Was that against Denver?
That was against Denver, yes. And actually, Chuck came from Philadelphia after he got fired in Cleveland, came to the Pistons, and, you know, we were up and down. And I'll never forget, he was like, we can't win this way.
At the heyday of the Bad Boys, when you're winning championships, how would the contenders today fare against your team, in all honesty, not in just the, oh, we'd sweep them, or they'd, you know, they'd play three games and leave.
Let me interject.
Are you going to say they'd sweep them?
No. What I'm going to say is, Ernie, I think that's an unfair question.
Why?
Well, because you would have to, first of all of them would be suspended 10, 15 games. So the reason I think that, I hate the comparisons, because these teams today could not have played in our day.
And
I don't mean from a talent standpoint. I'm talking about from a physicality standpoint.
Of how you can play the game these days.
Can you imagine little Steph Curry, who's a great player? Can you imagine if the Bad Boys had been hitting him like they did Michael Jordan? They'd have broken.
Well, I'm just saying, this is why I could have played with Charles, because he's a good teammate.
Yeah.
He saw that you were leading me down a bad road. And my teammate jumped in and was like, "No, Zeke, I got this. That's a bad question."
Okay, well, he had part of it. Now answer the question.
Well, again, as Charles said, it all depends on the rules that we would play by. But if we had to play by these rules, we would still be effective, and I still think we would dominate, and I know we would win championships. Hell, if I can win championships in that era, I know I can win championships in this era. Not to say that this is a bad era, but the rules favor the big guys in my era. All the rules were set up for the closer you get to the basket, the more chances you have to win. Now the rules favor the point guards, and the point guards get to play and shoot and score and run up and down. And if I was getting 186 in that era, I know I can get a team together to get 186 in this era.
And you know what's funny, too? You know, we used to watch you guys play and see, you know, the pick and pop with Lambeer, and he'd step back and
shoot. We got criticized for that.
And it was like, how can you have a guy that big out there shooting those long jumpers? And now everybody in the league who's, I mean, everybody shoots it. I mean, it's that kind of a drastic change.
Chuck Daly, again, I have to give him a lot of credit for selling us that we can win a championship playing pick and roll basketball. Because back then you had to have the dominant post player. And even Jordan was probably one of the greatest post players in all era because he had to turn around the fade and the triple post and everything else. But we always, Lambeer would pop out, shoot the three or shoot the two. And he was heavily criticized because he didn't have a post game. I think Barkley hit him in the face one night because he didn't have a post game.
I hit him in the face because I didn't like him.
Can you imagine if the Houston Rockets of today playing with five small, they don't even have a center on the team. Can you imagine those guys walking out trying to win a basketball game in the 80s or the 90s? It just wouldn't happen.
You know, we talked to you earlier about, and we talked about Coach Knight earlier. You said some this weekend when y'all walk Coach Knight out, you got goosebumps.
Yeah. There was no greater feeling, I think, for all of us as his former players than to see him reunited back with the university. But to be able to stand on the eye, what we call, you know, the eye at Indiana in the middle of the floor, and have, you know, the student body chant your name. And it was definitely a goosebump kind of moments. I mean, you just got chills where, like, you was like, whoa. And it was beautiful. It truly was. I'll never in my life forget that moment.
Isaiah, it's been great spending time with you. First time since 88 that the All-Star Game is here in your hometown of Chicago.
It's wow. That's
32 years, man.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
And so I don't know what else you've got going on this week. Perhaps a kindergarten reunion with some of these other folks that you remember from back then. But enjoy every second back here in your hometown, man.
And, I definitely will.
And it's always...
Thank you.
Oh, it's always an honor, man.
Appreciate you.
Isaiah
Appreciate
Thomas.
You. Thank you.
Wow. 1988.
Yes.
Yep.
Love you, brother.
I love you, brother.
A visit from Second City.
Yeah.
This is fixing to get hilarious in the steam room.
I would love to do our entire show one night in Spanish. I'm going to make an executive decision for TNT.
Yeah.
How about we show the Super Bowl?
Do you get in the Christmas spirit?
I do not. Organic is not a thing. It's just the only thing I think about it, organic, is the price. Curling is not a thing. It's called dusting. Yeah. Everybody can dust.
Yeah. People complaining about the Peloton commercial.
Remember, it's an honor to be nominated.
Yeah, unless you lose.
Yeah, excellent point. The Steam Room podcast continues from the House of Blues in Chicago All-Star Weekend.
Yes.
In front of a large and enthusiastic audience.
Or you can call them unemployed. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't know my mic was on.
Mary Catherine Curran and Jordan Savusa are here. They are with Second City. And I didn't realize this. Second City started in 1959, correct?
Oh, that's right.
And so this, and it's... It's a comedy place, but it's also kind of a comedy state of mind. It's kind of like when you say Second City, it's just this, it covers this whole improv world, and nobody does it better.
Which is the cool thing, because there's so much history to the Second City, like you said, 1959, but there's a great educator named Viola Spolin who used her theater games for kids, who used it. And her son, Paul Sill, used those games to create the Second City that was based on improvisation. In December, we had our 60th anniversary. So we've been here for a while.
Yeah. And I think about all of the alums, and everybody looks at like the Saturday Night Live crew for so many years. It was just this constant stream of Second City grads or whatever you want to call them. So there's that rich history to live up to, is there not, Mary Catherine?
For sure. I mean, on the walls of the theater, there are quotes from Rachel Dratch and Tina Fey and Steve Carell. And it's a crazy thing, but it definitely is an honor to be performing on that stage every night. We're Tuesday through Sunday, so it's 8 shows a week, which is a lot. And
it's not 8 days in a week.
They squeeze 8 shows
into
that.
Yeah, we make it work.
So,
we make it work.
So we, you know, it's a wonderful thing, and we love to do it. And there's nothing quite like performing in front of a live audience. It's invigorating every night.
Do you really not know sometimes what you are going to do? Is it totally like, because they'll throw out topics? Okay, do this. You don't have any inkling?
Not usually. I mean, no. We do a scene in the show where every night they get suggestions and I have to guess what their suggestions are. And they're doing charades to help me guess. But it's different every night. And it's always, you know, and everyone asks, are you cheating? Are you cheating? Because sometimes I get them pretty quickly. But I'm always out in the lobby just waiting and I never know. And when people yell out suggestions to us, we never know what we're going to get, so it's always different.
You know, I've been blessed to host Saturday Night Live a few times. Mm-hmm. Have you ever just had a laughing fit in the middle of something?
Yeah.
Sometimes we mess with each other.
We do our best not to.
We do.
We just have a lot of fun up there just improvising and making stuff up over and over again, so something will catch us and it will just... We can't stop laughing.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's been times where both of us have lost it.
We have a lot of fun up there.
Yeah.
How big were the butterflies the first time you took the stage?
Huge.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
It was just to be part of the main stage cast, and then that first night that you're like, it's happening.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was just so much fun. And then we did it again, and then I was better. Yeah.
I've got some friends who are comedians, and they said they hate when people walk up to them, say something to make me laugh.
Oh.
Like, does that happen? Like, when y'all are with friends, like, hey, say something to make me laugh.
Constantly. Yeah. Oh, usually it's Lyft drivers that will.
Yeah, it's Lyft drivers.
Where, like, people taking me to work will be like, you work at Second City, give me a joke. And I'll say, no, you got to pay me for that.
Yeah,
now.
You got to go see
I don't
show.
Do it for free anymore.
That's funny.
Well, why don't you, can you give us a lesson or a drill or something to see if we have any kind of. You know, is there any kind of a training that would say, oh, yeah, you've got what it takes to do improv?
Oh, I see you talk all the time. You guys definitely got what it takes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I saw you eat a cookie from your head and that went into your mouth. And to me, there's nothing more than yes and than your head and your mouth eating that cookie.
Hey, that's nothing better than eating.
I think the stuff that we do at the Second City is based solely on, like, improvisation, which is the idea of yes and. Like, whatever you give us, we will just say yes to it, accept it, and then we'll add something to it.
Yes. So we could give an example of that right now. So Jordan would say something to me like,
the vampires are going to get us.
Oh, yes. And I'm going to have to get my stakes out.
Yes, because I don't want to be a vampire.
Yes. And maybe this is the time for us to renew our vows.
Yeah.
And then it would be a little better than that.
But leave it on a cliffhanger, then, just like that.
So if I were to say something to you like, hey, let's go to the beach. And then you would say,
oh, do I need sunscreen? Or do I need a Speedo?
Okay. See, I'm going to stop you right there. Now, sir, you're asking a question. And in improv, we don't want to ask a question. We want to say yes and. So if I were to say, hey, let's go to the beach, you'd say...
Yes and. I'm going to get Speedos and put on some suntan lotion, and I should bring a snack.
Yes. And I'll go ahead and get the boombox so we can listen to some sweet tunes while we're on the beach.
What sweet tunes?
No, don't ask a question. Just kind of agree and add to it.
Okay.
Yeah, usually, because questions then can lead you towards an argument or, which, you know, after we've been doing it for a while, we will throw in some conflict into our improv. But when we're starting out, if we're agreeing and adding something, that's always going to be better for our partner.
So if I were to start something with Charles
right now,
I would say, so Chuck, I understand you got a new Speedo and it's an extra small. Yes, and?
Yes, and. I just didn't want to embarrass you at the beach, Ernie.
That's very thoughtful of you. But I also understand that you have thongs, but thongs meaning the flip-flops that are really big.
Ernie.
Yes.
Yes, and yes, Ernie. And they're big shoes. And you know what big shoes mean, Ernie?
Yes, I do.
You know,
it means small Speedo.
And yes, Ernie, I'm only wearing the small Speedo because you only got a rubber band and peanut shells, and I don't want to embarrass you at the beach. Oh.
That's why I love you, Charles. Thank you.
What intensity.
Fancy. Yes.
So anyway, what's the address of Second City?
1616 North Wells.
Because we're going to be there.
Well, we'll see you tonight. You can come play with us tonight.
Yeah, we're in a show right now. Do you believe in madness? It's mm-hmm. running forever.
Do you believe in madness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we work for TNT.
Yes,
we
believe in madness.
Yes, yes. We work for TNT.
Guys, thank you so much. It's been educational for us. We have much admiration, really. I mean,
you
guys, I know it's a fertile ground for comics who you're going to see and become household names, and I'm certainly hoping that yours will be too, and folks will
continue
around
success.
The country will
thank
see
you. Thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you so much. There's more Steam Room straight ahead, live from Chicago. In this age of technology and great advancements, it's always nice to have a final segment that revolves around the old answering machine. In this case, Chuck's answering machine.
You've reached Charles Barkley. Leave a message, America.
I saw you at a local nail salon the other day getting a manicure and pedicure.
I get a mani-pedi every week, Ernie. It's the pot. It's called Nails for Males.
Hey, Chuck, man, I just want to know, can you grow hair?
I can actually grow hair on the outskirts of town.
In
downtown, I got a big hole in my head.
What kind of cologne do you wear? You look like you smell good.
You look like you smell good.
You know how I put it on, Ernie? I spray it in the air and walk into it.
And with that, we welcome you back to the final segment of the Steam Room podcast.
I got some big news for you.
Do you really? What is that?
I used Netflix for the first time.
Did you really?
Yeah.
This is a major breakthrough.
Yep.
And what you watch on Netflix?
The Aaron Hernandez story.
Mm.
Man, that dude has some issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Steve Fiorello been trying to get me to use Netflix for 4 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not a technology guy. I finally use Netflix.
I got a recommendation for you on Netflix. You. Y-O-U. You. It's two seasons, and it's called You.
You.
Y-O-U.
Okay.
Anybody seen You? Yeah, I got you. All right. I'm still eating this deep dish in two hands. So we normally end the show, as you heard as we came in, with Chuck's answering machine, and we get some random questions. So we thought, since we're live in front of a live studio audience here, or a live House of Blues audience, we'll just take a couple of live questions.
Okay.
So we don't have the answering machine. We have live folks here. What is your name, and what is your question?
My name is Saban. First of all, it's great to see you guys out here in Chicago.
And thank you, brother.
Hey, Chuck, I know it's your favorite, so I got you a little present. I don't know if you want it or not.
Yes.
You don't know if he wants it.
Hey,
jeez, man, I'll answer that for you.
That's pretty awesome, brother. Thank you.
I had to.
Nice. Hey. Anybody come bring gifts, we always welcome. You got a question?
Yeah, so it's kind of a basketball question. Ernie, you can hop in on this too. So who would your all-time starting five be?
Well, the five greatest basketball players, in my opinion, no position, Michael's the greatest. Oscar Robertson, Bill Russell, Kareem, and Will Chamberlain. Those are the five greatest basketball players ever. So they're on my list. And then I got Kobe, LeBron, Tim Duncan, Jerry West, and then Magic and Bird. Give me any of those five, I'm good.
That sounds good to me.
Yes.
That you can debate that all day. You really can. And everybody, no matter who you put in that five, you're going to get somebody who says, you're crazy. How can you say he's he's better than he is? And he has these numbers. But, that's all subjective. Do we have time for one more?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm Ivan Erson from Gary, Indiana, and I love watching you all. But behind the scenes, we see a lot of funny things. So my question is, what's the biggest beef between you two that's maybe on air or off air that you've gotten into? We know what you and Shaq get into all the time. Oh. But it's you and Ernie.
Ernie almost killed me one night. I didn't realize how important Ernie's notes were to him, because there is, even though we act like we're crazy, there is a format that he has written down on when we do this, when we got to go to commercials and what's coming up next. And one night I tore it up.
Yeah. So here's the deal. So basically I boil down this format the producer puts out, and on these index cards I'll have, we're going to talk, you know, like Bucks Clippers there, and I might have a couple of stats on somebody, and I might have a couple of things. So I've written this stuff down and researched it, and then Kenny in a commercial break says, I dare you to rip his cards up, and I thought they were kidding, and Charles reached over and ripped them up, and I swear, no, that's as mad as I've been, and I didn't say anything. I just kind of looked at him, so I can't believe you did that. Oh, we're just kidding around. And so the next segment, I just didn't let him talk. So I talked to Kenny a little bit, and I talked here, and he, every time, you know, we don't have time for that. So I tried to freeze him out of the segment, but I'm telling you.
I will never touch his notes again.
I was this close to throwing hot coffee right on him. I can't believe you would do that. And he really had no appreciation for it. He was basically saying, I don't care about any work you've done for the show. It's all about me, Chuck, you know? So I was pissed.
The one thing that drives me crazy about Ernie is hilarious. And he says things. I said, please say that on the air. He said, there's no way I'm saying that on the air.
Yeah,
but he's got a great sense of humor. But that's the only time we ever got into it, when I tore his notes up. I'll never touch his notes again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, before we go, in an earlier episode of The Steam Room, we played an answering machine message from a young man in Australia who implored us to help raise awareness for the devastating bushfire crisis in Australia. And Chuck, as we talk, you were adamant about us getting involved. And I think it's the time we found the perfect sponsor to partner up with in this effort.
Hi, I'm Steven Eisen, founder and CEO of Lokai. You might know this is that bracelet that Charles got in the steam room. Lokai exists to help people find balance in their life, staying humble through the highs and hopeful through the lows. We believe that giving brings balance. Recently, Lokai donated $125,000 to Australian fire relief efforts through the support of the Australian Lokai. You can head to lokai.com, that's LOKAI.com, to find a cause or sports team that means something to you. And for this weekend only, use code STEAMROOM for a 50% discount. Yeah, 50%. Chuck, EJ, as a loyal steamer, thank you guys for your support and partnership.
That's awesome.
We thank Steven Eisen and Lokai for their commitment to charitable efforts.
Thank you, man.
10% of all Lokai net profits go to charity, and to be a partner in this, we at Turner Sports will be contributing an extra $10,000 to the relief effort.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was awesome from them. I always wear mine ever since that, you know, and you know, they sent us a couple, and we saw, who was it, Cam?
Yeah.
Cam's big and Lokai.
Man.
So it reminds you to stay humble and stay hopeful. And here we go. Here's one that they have sent us here, and there's another.
Hey, guys, go to Lokai.
Yeah.
Please.
And
thank you, my brother.
Thank y'all for being here today. It's been our pleasure to do the Steam Room Podcast here in Chicago. And we look forward to a fun All-Star weekend. And we'll see you next time. This was episode 8. Next time will be episode
9.
Thank you, Chuck.